B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hour 2, Felger and Maz, 3:06 in the afternoon off the, the two things. Maguire-Sosa special last night and another insane, mind-numbing impasse in Major League Baseball and how they just can't get back on the field to play 82 games. They can get back on the field to play 50, but they can't figure out those remaining 30 games, and the thing's blown up, and the Players Union has basically said, just tell us when and where, and that's not even any guarantee. There may be no baseball season, so may lose baseball to a labor impasse. The last time that happened in the mid-90s, it was saved by steroids and the home run chase. So I ask you now, if they did that again, would it work? Would it bring you back? And I don't know how more home runs could bring you back. They've hit more home runs than they've ever hit in Major League Baseball. It's not bringing you back. Would it take an individual chase, an assault on 73? That was Bonds, right? 73?
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
So would it take an assault from one player that you can't, not Eugenio Suarez or Jorge Soler, but a Giancarlo Stanton, a Aaron Judge, or someone like that, would that bring you back to the game?
Because those two are such freaks, like how they look. If those two were kind of on pace for 80, that'd be pretty cool. I'd tune into that.
Probably so.
Yeah, and you got a New York element there, too, yeah. Right? I mean, those two guys are giants. I mean, you know, I think Stanton's 6'6", and Judge is 6'8", right? Mm-hmm. So there is a freakish is a good word. They're just mutants, those two. It's like, okay, fine, I'll dig in and I'll watch that. It's like, again, Maguire last night watching that thing, and with Sosa, they look like bodybuilders.
Yeah.
They were all just Puff Murray. They look like Bane,
yeah,
for crying out loud.
That was part of the fun of it, too. I forgot how much it looked like a toothpick in Maguire's
little
hands.
Twig. It was a twig, Murray. I was just going to say that. When he holds it down low between his legs, there's like a little
ball
twig.
Go smash. Yeah, like, oh, it's like, oh man, that was kind of fun.
But it was like you could watch those guys hit home runs then. It brought you out of your seat. And now the ball's going out in the same way. Some of those shots last night that Maguire, you know, the upper decks, I keep saying, in the old Busch Stadium were just ridiculous. But now between the juiced ball or the smaller stadiums or they're juicing again or whatever, the ball's going out like that and no one cares. No one cares. So I don't know if I think the home run saving the game is over. What saves the game? Randy in Medford. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, gentlemen. You guys hear me good?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Yes, I had an idea, quick idea. I want to hear your thoughts. Just take away the three outs, put timed half innings. You get more at-bats, shortens the game. You get more runs, and it might bring up a hidden streak of some sort. Just wanted your thoughts on that.
So I don't quite get it. You know, I mean, I've long said what baseball needs is to lop off a third. Three balls, two strikes, two outs, six innings, you know, would just lop off in a whole third of the game. Okay. But honestly, as much as I still like that idea, if it still takes 45 seconds in between pitches,
not good enough,
right? So it's not necessarily the length of it. It's the gaps in between action.
The pace
is really the issue. And, you know, it's not just the time between pitches. It's the three true outcomes. As we said, it's walk, strikeout, or home run. And the home run used to bring you out of your seat when it was part of the game. But now it's only those three things. And that now I sort of chalk up a home run to nothing happening. Walk, nothing happens. A strikeout, nothing happens. A home run, nothing happens. The other nine guys are just standing there with their thumb up their ass with those three outcomes. And that's what all the nerds now in every freaking front office in the league, all these, you know, nerds from Yale are telling them three true outcomes, walk, strikeout, home run. That's the entire game. And so that's the issue. It's not whether it's six innings or nine. It's what's happening in those innings.
I mean, I always look at it in terms of being aerobic or anaerobic, and I want baseball to be an aerobic game. And that means throw the ball faster, more action on the field. There's got to be more speed. Everybody's going to, but to do that, the fat bastards on the mound have to get in shape. Sort of the fat dumps who are the DH and the fat bastard umpires. The game got fat. It got fat okay? And they all move slow now, and they all just want to play softball, and none of them want to, you know. So I want the game to be aerobic again. I want it to move. I want it to move. You actually have to be in shape to pitch and throw 110 pitches instead of just being some fat pant load who's out there going to throw his 85 pitches and then call it a night. Like, the game's got to be aerobic. Let's go.
Mike in Charlestown, your thoughts.
So I just think that baseball has no action. Every other game, they say it's a sport of strategy, but everything is happening all the time. If you go to a football game, you can bring your kid who's a lineman, and even if the ball isn't going his way, he's doing something. If you bring your kid who's playing right field, he can watch nothing happen for the right field the whole game.
That's right, and it keeps getting worse, Mike. Again, that's the exact thing we're just talking about, the three true outcomes. Three true outcomes, which is a stat nerd's dream. It's the dork's dream that's taken over the game. All these analytics guys from the Ivy Leagues, they can easily put that into their computer because there's no variance. In other words, a ball in play, well, what's the guy's range? What was the spin on the ball? Did it hit a little piece of dirt on the ground? Did it hit a pebble and it bounced the wrong way? And I can't, there's some interpretation there. A walk, strikeout, or a home run, three true outcomes. They input nicely into the computer, and that's what the game's become, and that's as big a problem as anything.
And what they miss is the fun stuff is the stuff you can't predict. That's the whole point. So, you know, that's where the real sort of entertainment value comes in, the unpredictable stuff. These idiots got it backwards.
Dan and Quincy, your thoughts.
Hello?
Hello, Dan. You're on the air.
What's going on, guys? I'm calling because I think what's going on with baseball is the lack of personalities. There's no bad guy, so to speak, or good guy, so to speak. It's really no face of baseball. Meaning, like, who's the Barry Bonds right now?
So
who's
Danny?
Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, I don't agree with you. I don't think people care enough to hate like they used to.
Bingo.
Is my issue. I mean, because let me tell you, I think the entire Houston Astros, a hateable group. Hateable group. And I don't know why you couldn't hate the Yankees like you used to, but you don't. I mean, Aaron Judge, sort of a classic. I don't mind him. But, I mean, what's to like about the rest of them?
Yeah, but, you know, to tune in to hate someone is a good, you know, that gets me. And they blew it. That's just further proof of how they blew it this year. The Astros, they had people that would have tuned in to see those guys get beaned. And that was going to happen. It was already happening in spring training. That's further proof that these idiots can't get on the same page. You actually would have done your game some service if you played this year. Or you could get this thing going because people want to tune in to see the Astros eat crow.
Yeah, that was going to be good for the game. I mean, that was going to make it entertaining. And that, at the end of the day, that's the real issue, is the game's not entertaining enough. So honestly, I don't care how you do it. You want to whip balls at the Astros and break some ribs. You want brawls. You want more action on the field. Like, just make it more entertaining because the game right now is not entertaining.
And that's it. So people always talk about they don't promote the personalities, bad or good, in the game. And to me, that misses the point. The game's not entertaining enough to watch. So you can promote it as much as you want. But you can promote a movie as much as you want. If the movie blows, you're not going to go see it.
Exactly.
So you could create a great villain, a great hero, pump up the personality, market the bejesus out of it. And if it's not worth sitting through, you're not going to sit through it.
Right. It's called Waterworld.
That's baseball's problem. The product isn't worth sitting through. William in Methuen. Hi, William.
Yes. Well, I love baseball. And what would make it better for me is if they put the pitch clock in and watch the pitchers get pissed off that they're forced to speed up, and also the batters in the batter box. When they had their foot in that box, just let the pitcher hurry up and pitch and watch the batter get pissed. And also, let the hitting happen at the home plate when they're running in there to try and score. Let the sliding happen into second base where they tackle or, you know, slide into the second baseman.
Sure.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, bring back all the contact. Bring back the collisions. I don't think that's happening. Doctors, lawyers, all that stuff, it's taken over. So that's, I don't blame baseball for that. That's happened in every sport. Right. So, like, that's one I'm not going to blame the lords of the sport. I do blame them for not, you know, for the what the game's become, the analytic, grinding to a halt through analytics and the players not throwing the damn ball. That I definitely will, you know, hold them responsible for. I do wonder, Maz, if the owners do drag the players back here for this 48-54 game season, whatever, you think these guys are going to have any interest in speeding the game up or making it entertaining in any way, shape, or form? Can you imagine what these slugs are going to look like when they show up, you know, when they're sort of forced to come back and play this season?
Totally. Yeah, look, again, I can totally imagine it. Because do you have any faith that baseball players would do what's in the best interest of the game, which is to play more quick? See, that's what the real issue is. The players don't give a rat's ass. So despite the owners and despite everyone else, they'll thumb their nose at you. David Price will take 45 seconds between pitches. Half of them are going to show up in camp out of shape and not giving a crap anyway. I just think it's the core problem is the game has gotten lazy and loose. It's gotten lazy and loose, and they need to put something in that tightens it up. And again, I don't know what the simple answer is. But if they're going to put in something like a pitch clock, the penalty's got to be stern. And when I say stern, no gray area. You know, 20 seconds, ball one. 20 seconds, ball two. And in fact, I would say if you do it two pitches in a row, the guy walks. Like, let's go. Move.
Okay, that's
if you don't want to throw the ball in 40 seconds, you don't want to throw two pitches, then the guy walks and the manager comes out of the dugout and gets pissed at his pitcher. Let's create some tension and get everybody moving.
Okay, big picture. Baseball has to move in that direction. Short term. Any record chase, anything like that you saw last night, Maguire Sosa. Is there anything like that left in the game that would bring you back after another labor impasse? That's what we're discussing today. We'll pick it up right after these words.
Duggar and Maz.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Wow. Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, let's say we play 48 games and everyone starts in the same place and it's a race to the finish. In the end, even though there'll be an imaginary asterisk over this season, if not a real one for the rest of time, we're going to have to recognize that somebody won the World Series. Let's just assume for a second the Dodgers, who are so good, go 36-12. And then wipe everyone out in the month of October. And then we're going to tell them, no, you're not the World Series champs. I just don't think it's fair to do it that way. Now, individual statistics, hitting 400 or having an ERA under one, that's a different story. But I don't think we have a choice. Whoever wins this year is going to be the World Series champion with, again, a giant asterisk or imaginary one on top of it.
I don't know the asterisk for a champion. I wouldn't be doing that. But the individual records that we're talking about, again, the Maguire Sosa chase, is there any equivalent now that could help baseball? And the fact is, it's not even going to happen this year. There's not. I mean, someone hits 400 in a 48-game season. That doesn't count, does it, Maz?
No go. No way.
No shot. What if someone has a 46-game hitting streak?
Nope.
Yes. Why would a hitting streak not count?
You said 46.
I know.
Well, I mean, yeah, that would, but again, you can't break the record.
So you can't break 56. That's right. So right, and I guess what you're saying there is, you don't count those hitting streaks that go from one season to the next.
No way. No you got to do it in 1 year. No break. That's the whole point. Like, again, to me, this is a critical part of baseball. The schedule is so long, but this is the one thing that, you know, that makes the sport different, right? So that's what makes some of the records unique. You got to grind it. You've got to grind it. And so if you get 4 months off, 6 months off in the middle, what the hell good is that? No.
Kirchin there mentioned the ERA. Who holds the record for the lowest ERA right now in a full, you know, as a starter full season? I don't know how you define that, innings, et cetera. Like,
is it Bob Gibson from 69?
So 68, Jimmy. I think Gibson's ERA was like 1.12. Okay. But that's the year they raised the mound. And so, you know, in any case, I think that's it. I don't know if there's another one there, but
so,
even
I mean,
that,
well,
that doesn't.
Well, so I just Googled it.
The lowest single season ERA in league history was posted by Tim Keefe, whose .86 ERA and 105 innings pitched for the National League's Troy Trojans in 1880.
Okay, that's not even modern era.
And Murray second place. What do you got for second place?
That would be Dutch Leonard's 0.96 ERA.
And then third,
hold on, I gotta pick this up.
Mordecai
here.
Brown, go ahead.
Yeah, Mordecai Brown. Three finger.
Yeah. Was he three finger?
Yeah, I think he was three finger Brown. Yep, I think that was him. Yeah,
Mordecai Brown had three fingers.
I think so.
It wasn't that. That's what the ladies referred to him as.
All right. So anyway, so those are the. But you're right about Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson, I guess, modern era, if you want to call it, 1.123 in 1968. So if there were a pitcher, but he's not, you know, I think the, I don't know what.
That 30 wins thing would be kind of badass. That'll never happen again.
No, like, God, you can't get a guy to make 30 starts, yeah, Murray.
You can't get a guy to go 5 innings.
Problem, right? Yeah, seriously. It's just like that, back then, again, you had four-man rotations. These guys, had, you know, they'd make 40 starts a year. You had a chance of winning 30. Now if you get 30 wins out of the life of a contract with a guy, you do cartwheels.
Jesus.
It's a joke.
I don't think there. I don't know if there's a single thing that the hitting streak would bring me back. I think we found one just because they're the Yankees, and if it, you know, if Stanton and Judge,
what was that one that Oral
went Hersh- on a tear? I'd watch those two go.
What was that one Oral Hershiser had back 30 years ago? The
consecutive innings, yeah. Scoreless innings, yeah, like 59 and a third or something in 1988, I think it was. I think it was the year the Dodgers won the World Series.
Yeah. Has anyone touched that?
Would anyone care?
Probably
no.
Not. Just seam heads.
I mean, and again, the strikeouts are totally, you know, who holds a strikeout record in a season? Do we know? Is it set every year?
From a pitcher, you mean?
Yeah. No, from a bat boy.
Well, I don't know. Are you talking a batter?
Yes, I'm talking about a pitcher, yes. Throwing
strikeouts. Nolan Ryan, I think, still holds a record, which is like 383 or something like that.
How about, oh, really?
Yeah, 383 strikeouts in 1 year.
Well, so I guess you've got
to. Again, he made 40 starts.
Right, and you've actually got to pitch. You've actually got to keep going out there inning after inning and not get pulled out by the nerds in the fourth inning because you're the third time through the lineup, which is what the nerds have taken over now, third time through. So the pitchers can't go three times through the lineup. How are they going to get out there and stay out there long enough to compile the strikeouts? How about single season? Single season strikeout record. Oh, okay, Murray, you ready?
Okay.
1886, Matt Kilroy.
Oh, Matt Kilroy. They put his name on the rock on the moon.
513. I guess the modern era guy was Nolan Ryan with 383 in 1973. Did you just say that, Maz?
I did.
Holy crap.
Yeah, Randy Johnson came close 1 year, I think. I want to say he got like 382 or something like
372
that.
372 in 01.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, I know he just missed. But Ryan, you know, again, Ryan, like if you looked up his innings from that year, I bet you, you know, Ryan threw, I just looked it up. Guess how many innings Ryan pitched that year?
So
326.
Oh, wow, I was going to say 250.
Okay, 326. David Price might get half of that in his next full season.
And complain every step of the way. Every step of the way about being overused.
I mean, it's a totally different game. Again, and they bastardize it to the point where nothing is asked of anyone anymore. They pay them more and they do less. And again, I'm not, you know, the economics of the game are what they are, but can they at least play a little quickly, a little more quickly?
So again, big picture, that has to happen in the sport. But just to reset, the whole jumping off point is last night, Maguire Sosa injecting the game. Is there anything that you can inject in the game today that would bring you back? Anything?
Well, they have some of these old names. Bring these back. Like guys being referred to as Old Hoss Radborn. Or
how about Doopie Shaw?
Yeah, Doopie Shaw. Or Pud Galvin of the Buffalo Bisons.
Pud Galvin, yes. Pud Galvin. That's my personal idol. Pud. You have a parent naming your kid Pud.
How about Fat Ass McGillicuddy?
Chris in Medford, go.
Hey, guys. So, look, I'm 21, and I still love baseball, and it really does blow that it's so brutal to watch now because we watch sports to be entertained. Like, would you ever sit down and watch a movie that runs for 4 hours? Absolutely not. So what if MLB went to a point system like the NHL and they got rid of extra innings and just called it a tie after nine? Would that help anything?
Desperately need to shorten those, Chris. Like, but I would still say whether a game is 14 innings or 9 or 6, if you're taking a minute in between every pitch and there's 2.5 minutes but between the ball being put in play, that's still not the core of the issue. The core of the issue is there's too long in between actionable incidents on the field. That's a very wordy way of saying nothing happens. Nothing happens. So whether it's 2 hours or four, things have to happen within that time frame. And it doesn't happen enough. But the 14 inning, one of 162, 4.5 hour game in May is about like top three dumbest things left in sports.
Yeah,
like this is just preposterous that the sport still does that. Start the 10th inning with a runner on second or third, and play and go and get the thing over with. I vote for that. This would be my format. 10th inning, you start with a runner on second. For one inning, each team gets to do that. And then if that doesn't work, if it's still tied, bring out the net, home run derby, and let's get the hell out of here. I'm not joking.
No, I know you're not. And I used to say, come on, you can't do that. I'm open to anything now. I am so disenchanted with baseball. I'm open to just about anything. Seriously, the three balls, two strikes thing that you're talking about, I'm in. Seven innings, I'm in. Whatever. Whatever gets these guys to move off their asses, I'm in.
All right, we'll continue with this topic all day. This is sort of our bedrock topic. I do just want to hit quickly on NHL coming back. Some positive COVID tests. I was just going to say steroid tests because we got that on the brain, but not steroid tests. COVID tests. Some positive COVID tests in both the NHL and the NFL. And another NFL survey. We'd like a good poll here on the program. All those things coming up with your calls, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to the program. Big Jim Murray, am I wrong to like Sheryl Crow?
No. Still attractive and very talented, too. I've seen her live before. I saw her at Woodstock 94.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan.
I thought you were going to look down on me.
No, I think she's all right.
Old boring white guy like Sheryl Crow.
No, and then she had that kind of dark period there, too, when I think it was when Kid Rock broke her heart, and then the music got a little dark for a little while.
It's a great song with Kid Rock. It's a great duet.
Yeah.
Love that song.
Yeah. The picture, right? Yeah, I took my picture.
Doing blow, drinking whiskey, the whole thing.
Show Crow's all right.
Banging chicks, yes. I like her.
So this is a request by you. I was like, did they add this to the rotation of the bumper music? But apparently not.
No, leave it to me. Request a Sheryl Crow song.
But I get it. Leaving Las Vegas.
Ah, there we go. There's the tie-in.
NHL apparently heading to Vegas.
Bruins are going to Vegas.
I was going to ask what prompted that, but anyway, go ahead. So I figured it out.
That's it. Bruins are going to Vegas. The Vegas Review-Journal, the newspaper out there, basically outed the fact that they've been chosen as one of the hub cities. And then there was subsequent reporting from some of the East Coast teams, like the Islanders, I think, or people reporting those teams said, well, the East is going west and the West is going east because they don't want Vegas to be at home or the East Coast team to be at home, Columbus, Toronto, whoever they choose. And I think they want it to be Toronto, but they've got to get Trudeau off this forcocked 14-day quarantine thing. You know, let the boys get in there and play some hockey. And if they could get past that, I think Toronto, they want to be to be that other one, if not maybe Columbus. But I think they're going to send east to the west and west to the east so you don't see it, which is, you know, kind of an undertaking. Like,
It's the right way to do it, though.
Competitively, it is. Competitively, it definitely is. In terms of, you know, the world and the manpower and, you know, like, it's a little gratuitous, you know, when you could have 30, 50, however big the traveling party is, just stay at home and save all the personnel required to care and all the tests needed for 30 to 50 people, all that. Instead of having to stay at home, you're going to ship them across the country because, that's a trade-off. But it's pretty much assumed Bruins are going to Vegas. So
Before you call, all the lines are full. You don't get to call me and ask about the ice.
Have you ever been to Vegas in the summer, Felger?
The ice is going to be fine. The ice is going to be fine because...
What, it's a dry heat?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of heat. It doesn't matter the weather outside, Murray. The doors are going to be opening less. There's going to be fewer bodies, way fewer bodies in the building. So there's no body heat. There's no opening the doors. That's what gets this ice to melt, not how hot it is outside. Okay?
Yeah, how are they going to make ice?
Okay, so they're going to make it. It's going to be fine. The practice facility. The only thing I don't like about Vegas is the arena's downtown, which is easy enough for the quarantine hotel. But the second rink, the practice ring, is like 20 minutes outside the city, which, you know, so you're going to have some teams schlepping in a bus out to the practice facility and et cetera, where you have some of these teams, some of these buildings and or hub cities, I meant, Vancouver, Edmonton, have like multiple rinks in the building where the, you know, like I think Vancouver has a practice rink right inside the same building as their, it's either that or Edmonton has a practice rink right there, you know, in the same plant. There's hotels connected to it. There's a million, you know, local rinks in town, and Vegas doesn't quite have that, but they're going to Vegas. And the last thing I read is that they're trying to find a hotel, a smoke-free hotel without a casino. So that's the Delano. And there's another one that I never heard of. The Mandarin might. So they got to find one of those for everybody. I also read that the players, because there is a bubble, the players have asked if they can buy out a couple of restaurants that is just for players and family, you know, because they want a place to eat. Here's from Elliot Friedman. One NHL player indicated that one of the things he and his teammates brought up was whether or not three or four restaurants at each hub could be bought for the duration so that only players and their families could go there. No general public, just them. The idea was to have somewhere else to go besides the rinks and the hotel.
That's great. So Chris and I were talking about this on Saturday, and that must be new because we were saying, like, those guys should be able to, like, rent a restaurant because not just for the COVID-19 reasons, let alone, you know, being bothered, like, hey, will you sign something? Like, no, not now, but just in terms of having less people around. That's a great idea. They should allow them to do that.
And it makes all the sense in the world.
I don't know. Would the restaurants go for it? Fixed income? You know you're going to be making this amount. You're not at the mercy
I would think so.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't find that a gratuitous idea. I think everyone wins there.
Yeah.
The restaurants would do business. You could have a few more places to go, more of a life for those guys inside the bubble. And, like, I don't know. That one's okay to me. Also, over the weekend, I missed it. The Bruins had a player who tested positive for COVID. Now, this ties into another thing that's being reported today, that multiple Dallas Cowboys and Houston Texans have tested positive for COVID, including Zeke Elliott. Now, this is how I tie this all together. When I hear Zeke Elliott tested positive for COVID, I look at it and I say, you idiot. Like, so I'm sort of asking this because I want to blame him because I don't trust Zeke Elliott to have done the right thing or the Cowboys. Like, they had a couple of parties, right? Wasn't it reported? And was it Dak Prescott that had big birthday party? And, you know, Zeke Elliott has certainly had his off-field issues to begin with, not the most disciplined guy off the field, has had many, many run-ins off the field. And so now you're in a pandemic. Now, you know, you've got to sort of keep your distance and keep your nose clean, for lack of a better term, to come back and play for the Cowboys. And I don't trust that he's been doing the right thing. Is that wrong of me? Is that wrong of me to put on Zeke Elliott?
The story is Cowboys Dak Prescott host party with Ezekiel Elliott despite COVID-19. But this is back in April?
Yes, it was. It was early on in the thing when we were all, you know, we were
real freaked out,
afraid to leave our bedrooms. Like, the Cowboys are like, you know,
there's horn to do.
Boobs out. Yeah, there's horn to do. And, like, they're going nuts. And so it's like, well, of course you got it, Zeke. You're out running around like an idiot. And that's just like, is that unfair of me to put on Zeke Elliott? And I tie that to the Bruins because I had thought it was Pastrnak, because the way that thing was timed out is that Marchand and Bergeron were on the ice and the team released the video of those two practicing, just those two on the ice. And then the next day the team says, we had a player show up, test positive for COVID. I'm like, oh, well, that's not hard to figure out. You have two-thirds of the erection line out there. Where's the third guy? The next day, they announce someone failed the test. I don't trust Pastrnak maybe any more than I trust Zeke Elliott. He's a little loose off the field. You know, certainly his running around like an idiot last year sure cost him in the playoffs. So I want to kind of blame him. Is that wrong of me? But, no. Oh, by the way, it's not him because he's still in the Czech Republic skating with 10 Czechs.
Yeah, he's in Prague, yeah.
So, by the way, it wasn't Pastrnak. He hasn't even come back to the country yet.
He's practicing in the Czech Republic with 10 players who are still over there, so it's not him. But now do we play this game like, is it him? Is it not him? And do you hold him kind of responsible for not, you know, making sure that they don't get sick and blah, blah, blah? How should I approach that?
Well, so to me, look, I don't think it's wrong with any athlete to wonder what the heck they're doing, that where they expose themselves to it. And this is why I would say that. Because they're all in their 20s, and they think they're superhuman and invulnerable and indestructible, and they think that nothing will ever happen to them. And I just think, you know, again, younger people, and I don't even mean this as a criticism, but I think they're just more careless because they, you know, they have their whole lives in front of them. So I would look at athletes, especially given the way they're wired, and say, yeah, hell yeah, it's reasonable to wonder what they're doing. No question about it.
I wonder if the team's annoyed. You know, whoever it is. And you know, again, if this is inappropriate of me, then, you know, then it's...
No, I think if it depends on the player.
I mean, this is why I'm asking.
If you know the player is kind of a party boy, so, like, if it ended up being Pastrnak, I think you kind of have a right to be pissed because, you know, he's probably just, like, out there being like, ah, whatever.
Well, you know, it's sort of like, you know, there's still millions of dollars at stake. There's still a championship on the line. There's still a season to play. And so I'm sure the teams sent out notices to their players, guys, be careful. Be careful. Okay, we still have something to play for. We have a Stanley Cup on the line, and we have a championship on the line, and there's still business to do and money to make and championships to go try and win. So be careful. And then the guy shows up, and he's tested positive. And I wonder if the team looks at him and says, "Were you careful, Zeke? I mean, like, you know, or and I don't know who else, Pastrnak again, because we know it has a little bit of an off field thing." You know, and I don't know if someone else like that applies on the Bruins. Is it someone that they warned? Is it someone that they've, you know, if Tyler Seguin showed up with COVID?
Right. Yeah, no, you'd be right to question it or say, like, you know,
you'd say, Tyler, dude, we have a Stanley Cup to win. We told you to be careful, and you're coming back, and did you do the right things? Were you being careful? Like, I wonder if they're annoyed. I'd be annoyed with Zeke Elliott and those Dallas Cowboys players who are running around like North Dallas 40, partying out there in the middle of it when, you know, everyone knows you got to be careful. But then again, you can get it innocently going to the grocery store harder, but it can happen. And, like, I don't want to be too big of a dick about it, but I do wonder how the teams feel about it.
Okay, but Mike, what you're getting at is the how makes a difference. The how makes a difference. So how did you get it?
Yeah, were you in the Ozarks in that pool?
Well, exactly right. So you know, if it's a player and he says, look, you know, I had to go food shopping for one of my grandparents or something, and, you know, assuming he's telling the truth, then all right, fine. You know, like, this is life. We can't all protect ourselves from it. It's just not going to – eventually, a lot of people already have gotten it. So what am I even saying? I mean, but if it's because, you know, yeah, I was out hanging out by the pool in the Ozarks and, you know, well, that's your fault, you jackass. Like, what are you trying to do? Now the good news is it's early enough here still where it you know, it shouldn't be too much of a hindrance depending on who the players are. But if you get close and some, you know, and someone can't play as a result of it and you do something stupid, absolutely the team has a right to be pissed.
I think generally speaking, the Bruins are a team I would feel good about. I mean, I think it's a really button-downed professional outfit for the most part. You know, this isn't the early 70s with, you know, Sanderson. And this is a different group. In fact, I just tell the story because, boy, what was it? It was a couple of years ago. The Bruins couldn't win at home. The Bruins couldn't win at home. And I wondered, and I asked someone who might know that, you know, I'm like, do these guys come home and party too much at home? Like, is it a thing where they get home and they get around their guys and they're a little too, I don't know, they have bad habits here when they get home? And the guy said to me, no, in fact, this team could use a few drinks, except for one guy. And he was talking about Seguin. He's like, he needs to stay home. But the rest of these guys might be, you know, maybe they need a drink to loosen up a little bit. And I think he's referring to, you know, Chara and Bergeron. And these guys are pretty serious professional group, which is good. I like that. I think that's an advantage in this time. So, like, I don't worry about that team like that. If I were a Cowboy fan or the Cowboys, I'd worry about that group. I would.
Sure.
I would worry about those guys. And so with Zeke Elliott, I don't know. I wonder if the Cowboys are shaking their heads saying, Zeke, we told you, be careful. So anyway, there's a thought on that. The Bruins are headed to Vegas, and how long are they going to be in training camp? We'll pick that up on the other side. Again, we still got these MLB questions before us as well, and another NFL poll that we want to get to right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do either of you guys have a sense of how long these training camps might take place? Because here we are right now, it's June 11th, and informal training camps are taking place. Guys are getting access to training facilities as well as some sheets of ice. That means they could be on the ice for a full month before the official Phase 3 begins. So does that reduce the amount of time we're going to see as far as the official training camps?
It depends on what you define as training camp. CJ, you tell me if you're hearing different, but I'm hearing it could be 2 weeks at your city and then another 6 days in the hub, which includes the two exhibition games. So do you define that as 3 weeks of training camp or 2 weeks plus exhibition games? That's kind of what I'm hearing, though. From what I understand, CJ, anything could be changed.
Yeah, that's consistent with what I've heard. And I think what's interesting here is the league is totally leaving it up to the players. Essentially, they're saying to the players, you tell us, give us the feedback. How do you guys feel? Obviously, as they go deeper into Phase 2, do you feel ready? And I do think that there will be some degree of wiggle room to reduce that time or, I guess, potentially extend it. Although I think given the amount of time now that these rinks are going to be open, if anything, we're going to see the caps shortened a little bit rather than lengthened.
That's Elliot Freeman and Chris Johnson in Sportsnet. That occurred to me, too. I mean, so NHL training camps are set to open July 10th. Okay, so that's, you know, that's another four full weeks. Five full weeks from when the rinks were first open. And if you can get the guys in these rinks and skating and doing drills, even if it's just groups of six, how much training camp will you need? And they said there are a couple exhibition games in there. So hopefully that doesn't take too long. I would say, if a guy like Pastrnak in the Czech Republic, why don't you just come home now? What are we still doing there? Let's go. Let's figure that one out. Get him back. Get him tested. Get him in the Warrior and, let's go. And, so that just struck me. I mean, again, if they're going to be skating at the Warrior now every other day and have that ice time, how much training camp are they going to need and et cetera, et cetera? So that's just following up on the NHL thing. Here's Walter in Delaware on the testing. Go ahead, Walter.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. I wanted to talk about the Bundesliga because I understand that you watch it, Mike.
Watch it's a little strong. I have it on. It's wallpaper in the corner of my room, but go ahead.
Fair enough. But in comparison, the difference, and I know you don't want to make this a political sports show, but Germany tested nonstop. They tested all their citizens. They contained it. And before opening the Bundesliga, they had a month in which the healthcare system made sure that it would be safe to open up the Bundesliga. People were tested nonstop and are still being tested.
Yes.
Whereas in our nation, they're not getting tested. And the Bundesliga has showed the world how they could do it. And yet the states still are not testing and the government's still not testing, the federal government. So I don't have hope that any of the American sports will open up because they're not following suit.
Well, the Germans are organized.
They are a rigid people.
I'll leave it at that. The one thing I do want about these overseas leagues, the baseball, the soccer, they're not using the bubble. The Premier League opens up on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Are they using their home stadiums too?
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
I think in the Korean baseball and the Japanese baseball and the Bundesliga for sure, they're not going in any bubble. They're just using their empty stadiums. And so maybe that's part of the pushback with the NBA players are looking at it and saying, these other leagues around the world are playing in their buildings. Why can't we?
So I just wonder about the size of the countries, whether that's a factor, right? I mean, Germany's one-fourth the size that we are in terms of population. They get 80 million people or something like that?
Yes.
And we get 350?
And, again, different cultures and different ways that they approach it. And so maybe it's just a more conducive place to be organized and have it all, you know, everything all set for them. And so we're a little different. We're a little more scattershot.
A little?
Yeah, I would say. Another poll. You know we like a good poll here on Felger Maz. The Athletic has another one as it relates to NFL broadcasters. Just a few items from that. We'll do it right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.